Wir den Commissioner Sarukam, Candy 11, Chef 11, Text von der Tür. Sukama ho, Sukam Dukam.
Sukama ho, Sukam Dukam.
Deha Patisha Maya ya.
Deha Patisha Maya ya.
Savnuya Tatmana Kyati.
Savnuya Tatmana Kyati.
Samsvitya Nachi Vastavi.
Samsvitya Nachi Vastavi.
Sukha. Lamentation. Moho. And illusion. Sukham. Happiness. Dukham. Distress. Deha apati. Accepting a material body. Cha. Also. Mayaya. By the influence of Maya. Svapna. A dream. Yata. Just as. Atmana. Of the intelligence. Jati. Melian Andhya. Samsriti. Material existence. Na. Is not. True. Indeed. Vastavi. Real. Translation Prabhupada by the disciples of Islamic Shaykh Prabhupada Chakrabarti. This is a dream of malady, a creation of one's intelligence but has no actual substance. Similarly, material limitation, illusion, happiness, distress, and the acceptance of the material body under the influence of Maya are all creations of my illusory energy. In other words, material existence has no essential reality. The word Deha Apati indicates that the living entity falsely identifies himself with the external material body and thus transmigrates from one body to another. Apati also indicates great suffering or misfortune. Because of such false identification under the influence of illusion, the living entity experiences the miserable symptoms described here. Maya means the false concept that anything can exist without Lord Krishna or for any purpose other than the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Although the conditioned living entities are trying to enjoy material sense gratification, the result is always painful. And such painful experiences turn the conditioned soul back towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the ultimate purpose of the material creation is to bring the living entity back to the loving devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, even the sufferings of the material world may be seen as the transcendental mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned soul, imagining that material objects are meant for its personal enjoyment, bitterly laments the loss of such objects. In this verse, the example is given of a dream in which the material intelligence creates material illusory objects. Similarly, our polluted material consciousness creates a false impression of material sense gratification. But this phantasmagoria, being devoid of Krishna consciousness, has no real existence. By surrendering to polluted material consciousness, the living entity is afflicted with innumerable troubles. The only solution is to see Lord Krishna within everything and everything within Lord Krishna. Thus one understands that Lord Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the proprietor of everything and the well-wishing friend of all living beings. In material illusion, there is no understanding of one's eternal spiritual body, nor is there knowledge of the actual truth. Therefore, material existence, even this most sophisticated or highest form, is always foolishness. One should not misunderstand the example of the dream to mean that the material world has no real existence. Material nature is a manifestation of the Lord's external potency, just as the spherical sky is a manifestation of the Lord's internal potency. Although material objects are subject to transformation and thus have no permanent existence, the material energy is real because it comes from the Supreme Reality. Lord Krishna is only our false acceptance of the material body. It's the factual self and our foolish dream that the material world is meant for our pleasure, that has no real existence. They are merely mental concoctions. One should cleanse himself of material designations and wake up to the all-pervading reality of the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. Okay, so take a minute. This again. This is a dream, merely a creation of one's intelligence, but has no actual substance. Similarly, material lamentation, illusion, and happiness, distress, and the acceptance of the material body under the influence of Maya are all creations of Maya illusory energy. In other words, material existence has no essential reality.
Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Dvaita Radha, Shri Sadhu Gaura Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So thank you all for coming out. And everybody's probably going to be disappointed that Guru Mahārāj is not doing the class that she was rostered on. So please, so I'm just putting in. So this really interesting verse, because it basically describes the core of basically what you're doing in this world. Because everybody is here to enjoy. None of us came here to suffer. We all came to enjoy. And we enjoy in we try to enjoy in a diseased condition of life. That means we try to enjoy as well as physical self. We try to enjoy emotionally. You know, we always try to have like emotionally fulfilling experiences. Somebody is kind to us, somebody says something nice to us. You know, we either get a huge thrill of falling in love. And then, you try to eat good food. It's all based on the material body. In like lower stages, you can see these are the basically just instant stuff that grows physical senses. And in higher platforms, when you come to Jnana Yoga, then they find their material satisfaction and mental speculation. So on more developed platforms, we try to get more subtle enjoyment. Then we can see that, you know, people's enjoyment is very much influenced by the modes in which they are. And in yoga, of course, right, which is next to the hi-fi bar in the city. So you see all these people going to this heavy metal or I don't know what they're called, kind of concert. And then the music is very gross and very loud and very disruptive, and the people are like very similar, you know, like when they were in the way to get it, means somebody to let them in. Before they, you know, enter actually the bar, they're sitting outside, and you can see like there's a lot of kids coming and they're sitting with on the pathway outside and eating McDonald's stuff, and you know. And basically they behave like the pigeons, you know, like if you look at them, they behave very similar to the pigeons that are walking on the pathway. It's very sad actually to see that. So other people, they try to get more subtle enjoyment, like, you know, when you look at, you know, people in more developed countries, they might get their pleasure from listening to Brahms or Bach or Mozart. It's more subtle form of enjoyment. And then we come to, you know, to the jnanis, they enjoy their own speculations, they enjoy the activities of their own mind and intelligence. But it's the same topic. The topic is to enjoy in the material world and to enjoy through our physical self with no knowledge about our spiritual reality. And therefore, as I explained here, we have to accept what comes with it. If you want happiness, you will get depressed. That's what we don't like to hear. But as soon as we endeavor for happiness on the material platform, the stress is inevitable. Yeah, he does not know, so it's like one coin is two sides, but if you get this coin, you get both sides. You can't just have one side of the coin. It's not possible. There's no coin with just one side. Wait, the division of the coin is two sides. So if you want to appear in heaven, the distress comes in one way or other. It might not be as severe in higher modes of nature, but still, even if we're in the mode of goodness, we will have to take another body, and there will something will come up. And the very nature of our body is that it is temporary. So if you want to enjoy materially, we have to have a material body. So the material body doesn't live forever. The material body gets old, gets diseased, it dies, and then it takes birth again. So if we accept the material body, if we try to enjoy materially, it's no way that we can escape distress. And it's explained in this word that that this distress actually is our failure in one sense. Because if we wouldn't suffer, who would want to go back to Krishna? And isn't it like if you feel alright, everything is good, and we don't really worry too much, isn't it? If we're feeling alright just at that moment, we don't think about improving our situation, we still feel fine. Many times, like, you know, all book interviewers especially experience that, you know, you approach somebody on the street, you try to sell them a book, and they say, I'm fine. And you think, no, you're not. But this person thinks they're actually fine, so there's no need for taking a book. It's a very great misfortune. And basically that just means that, you know, the ignorance is covering them more. Because first of all, you know, we can see there's some envy because they don't want to get in touch with Krishna. And also there's this illusory concept that they actually are happy, but they actually don't have any idea of their suffering. Because nobody is happy if there's a material existence. Especially not in Kali Yuga, no way. So, but if we acknowledge our suffering, if we acknowledge, you know, everything I'm looking for, I'm looking for eternal happiness. I don't want things to end. I don't want my relationship to end. I want that they continue forever. I don't want to die. I don't want my body to break down. I don't want, you know, so many other things to happen, but they happen. And I can't get away from them. And this person, finding my inquiry into the absolute truth and think, what's the point of this material existence altogether? Why actually, what am I actually doing here? I'm looking for meaning, I'm looking for purpose, I'm looking for eternality, but there's nothing I can find in this material world which can satisfy me. So this person will come to the point where they inquire about higher sources, and it's very fortunate, and in their sincerity in the heart, he will come into contact with this worship, with devotees in there. Hopefully with a, you know, spiritual master which can guide us along the way. So the suffering, actually we should embrace the suffering, because usually, especially in Kali Yuga, this is usually the only way we learn. You know, Rita Swami was saying in New Zealand, it was a very nice program that there on the Sunday feast, and afterwards he was giving a talk with, there were like many, many people who were like coming along, and he was giving like a private talk with them. And because it's interesting, it's a big room, but there's like some walls kind of just put up in between, where like, you know, some devotees would have some little offices and, you know, where they're staying. And some of us were hiding behind them because we didn't go into this program, so we were hiding behind the thing and listening to the whole, to everything he was saying without being able to see the people or seeing him. It was kind of exciting. And he was saying that often people say experience is the best teacher. Has anybody heard that before? Yeah? And he said, the amazing thing is that nobody knows the second part of that time. Does anybody know the second part of it? The second part is, for a fool does not learn another way. So unfortunately, you know, we have to be bashed up again and again to kind of actually go deeper into Krishna consciousness. Of course, we can't always work on being there sharp also, you know, we feel the love and the support and the guidance of, you know, of authorities, of our well-wishers. But then it's what Maya is doing, she's bashing us up so badly, so badly. And I just look at old age, like what would you do with a person who harms you so badly? Your liver, you know, wreck, or your organs don't work anymore, you get arthritis, you get constipation, you get deaf, you get blind, you know, your memory just totally disintegrates. What would you do to such a person? But this is what time is doing to us, to each and every one of us. Time is described as a plunderer. And it takes this and takes that. We were left with nothing. We just totally stripped naked. So time is doing that. You know, Maya, time operates in that sense under Maya. Of course we can understand that, you know, the time factor is a representation of Lord Krishna. But this is just one way our Krishna set up this material world, that time is robbing us from everything. And then, basically, what are we left with? So, out of this kind of misery, we can inquire about the Supreme Lord. Another aspect of this verse is that it speaks about being in a dreamlike condition of life. Like, and probably everybody has like dreams in their life which were like so real that they are shocking. Like you, or some, like I had a couple of times, you wake up in the, you think you wake up in the dream, you actually dream you wake up in the dream. And you continue your life, and you actually get a totally another impression that you actually have woken up. You know, you get a dream, you get out of your bed, and everything, you start your day. And then suddenly everything becomes really weird. And then you kind of realize what is going on, and then you actually really wake up after that. So dreams can be incredibly realistic. So this material world appears to us as being totally real if we are in an illusion. You know, if we think about like the needs we have, they're so real for us, isn't it? Has anybody ever really, really craved for something? I'm sure nobody has. But you know, like I had. So you really so badly want that thing, you know, the relationship, or if you want like something, like, you know, if you want to have some degree of, like, so many things, or, you know, you want to have that love, vanilla slice in the sky now. So it's something we, and under illusion, it feels so real, that need we have. Or the distress we're suffering, or the happiness we're having. Isn't that like, you know, you read this one yesterday or the day before, he was imitating somebody who's like really happy, you know? I'm happy. It feels so real. It's like, you know, your like whole existence is flooded with this happiness about being just in the right situation and, you know, the right time, everything is just perfect. And he was explaining how this is just another way of being bewildered. Or being, what was the exact word? Anybody remember? Wasn't bewildered, of being, distracted,
agitated.
Yeah. Happiness is an agitation. There was a really interesting class. Manidada was one of the real big Sankirtan guns. And he was saying how he had this new devotee and what's coming like for the first couple. I can't remember his opinion, but he had this devotee with him. And this devotee had a big problem. Every time they were on the street, he was saying to him, oh, look at all these people enjoying, they're just like gaming, just having so much fun because they're all laughing. And Mani Dada was saying, like, you know, she has such an intelligence, just to get a book, it's very difficult. You see, everybody is having such a good fun, and you're the only person suffering because they got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you had to chant all around, you know. So, you're saying, you know, he had a very hard time, and he was saying also what he was saying was, these people aren't happy, they're agitated. It's like, hey. He was imitating their laughing. Then we look out on the street and we see people laughing with them, but what is the foundation of their happiness? It's like a person giggling in the sleep. Has anybody ever had like something to make in sleep and like starts like giggling to themselves? You know, it seems weird, doesn't it? This is like, you know, what is this person? You know, what is their trip? So it's strange. we should look in that such a state as two persons. Or like another example is like a madman, like a psychiatry or something like that. And they're laughing too. But what is the substance of that happiness? Sometimes people say when they look at in the books and they see the Shri Prabhupada being very, very grave, say, no, why is he not smiling? Why is he not smiling? He doesn't have to smile like an idiot all day long, you know. He's like a different, he's a different level of happiness. And he sees the reality and he sees our distress. And he's grave about life, but it doesn't need to just run around with a big grin on his face. His enjoyment is so deep in his relationship with Krishna. So the only way we can deal with this illusory existence, you know, is the same way I only deal with the dream, or the sleep. You know, you wake up. You wake up and you get going with your usual activities. You know, when you wake up, usually you pick up your Shri Prabhupada saying once a man wakes up, he remembers all his duties straight away. So that's the only solution to sleep. To sleep with a dream full of existence. And we wake up by taking shelter of Krishna and his devotees. By bathing our intelligence in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other books Srimad Prabhupada kindly translated for us. And by doing devotional service. And also in that way we can see things as they are. You know, we are in this material world and we can perceive reality in a sense that we don't deny the existence of the material world and we don't deny our needs. We don't deny our physical body. You know, many devotees have done that in the past and they don't go anywhere. We have to deal with it. We have to deal with it with knowledge. You know, even every one of us has a material body. So you can't just stop eating from one day to another, or you can't stop breathing. And you also can't stop having, you know, like our so-called material interactions. You know, we have to look after our emotions, we have to look after our intelligence, after our physical needs, wherever they are. And we have to do it in a Krishna conscious way. Because if we neglect these needs, we can't grow. You know, you can't build a house without having a foundation. So unless these needs are not dealt with properly, we can't really go anywhere. But at the same time, we have to transform our activities, and we have to transform our thought process. So we have to see our body as, you know, the material body which just needs, but we do it Krishna's way. We stop doing it our own way. Because our own way has gotten us into trouble for like many, many lifetimes. So now we do Krishna's way. We have relationship in Krishna's way. We eat the food we eat, we prepare Krishna's way. We do our activities, our service, everything should be done in Krishna's way. And automatically, we will be happy. You know, yesterday, Yomita San was saying that even, you know, the gopis, they were so selfless in the service, but Krishna force happiness on them. Is that not what everybody wants, that happiness force upon them? You know, you come to a point where you're actually so happy you don't want any happiness, you know? So this is what's going to happen. But now we think like, oh, will I be happy? Who's going to look after me? Who's going to look after my needs? Will my needs be fulfilled? And our needs are all totally screwed up because we make our own plans. We think we know better what happiness is than Krishna. Isn't it? We think, I just need this one thing and I'm going to be happy. I need this other thing and I'm going to be happy. I just need to do this one, that one. So we actually think we know better what happiness is than Krishna. Because we make all the time our own plans for happiness. That's why we don't surrender, because there's not that faith that being with Krishna actually makes us totally happy. Our mind, is running on the program, that the mind is going to be attracted to, well, you know, we're going to think about where the attraction is. So we either think about our worries, you know, what happened yesterday and this person, and, you know, so we worry because our mind automatically is drawn and we need to solve it. Or we think about the things which make us happy and enjoy, just enjoy basically the sensation of that happiness. But we don't want to listen to the mantra. Because at that stage, the mantra just doesn't have the power of attraction to us because of our material desires. So we rather think about our worries than actually thinking about that which can dissolve every single worry we have, which is the mantra. But we like the faith. So we don't really think it's going to help us so much. So we rather think, oh, I better think about my worries than thinking about the Hare Krishna mantra. Because at the end, I know the best how I'm going to solve the problems of life. But if we keep thinking, if we keep pulling our mind there and trying to find shelter in the Hare Krishna mantra, then eventually we'll come to the point where we experience how insignificant our worries are and how quickly they dissolve once we concentrate on the mantra. And we will see that as an illusory state, just having our mind wandering from all these different things, and we'll find reality in the mantra. And once we can see, not just this, we will see that reality, and we also see the reality of the material world. We'll go out in the world and think, oh, I tried that before, it didn't work. Or we can see people who are conditioned, and we see all these objects of our sense identification, and we will see the reality behind it. Because, and that, you know, we gotta be awake to see that. The person who wakes up looks back on the dream, but he can analyze what actually happened in that dream. You know, he was maybe falling out of the window, but he wakes up and everything is still okay. So we might have now so many worries, we might have so much distress, and we might have so much happiness as well. But when we look back at it, we tend to see there was just something our mind was basically imagining. And then we can see what this really is. We can see the happiness of this world, we can see the distress of this world, but we can also see that Krishna is the proprietor, the benefactor, and the enjoyer of everything. And we can, in that way, dedicate our activities to working under his direction and find happiness delighting in our relationship with him in that way. This is what it's saying, we should clear this concept of material designations and wake up to the all-pervading reality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So see Krishna, see the material energy and the spiritual energy all related to the Supreme Lord. Is there anybody who wants to add something or ask any questions? Or quite early, can I have a discussion or something like that?
This is an observation of people working outside.
Yeah.
But they are happy. They are happy, but we understand that the endeavor that they have to make for them to be happy is, and at the end of their life, it's all like a proverb says, it's like building a sandcastle on the shore. Build a beautiful sandcastle, but it'll be washed away by the edge of time. So these people are happy, not only are they happy, but they have performed incredible amounts of austerity, mind control, austerities to make themselves happy. Whereupon, when I first had Krishna consciousness, I couldn't believe that the happiness and Krishna consciousness is bright without going through the hardships or austerities.
At the same time, Sri Prabhupada also, you know, he was actually talking about that in the retreat, he was talking about the greatest failure And just this fear of losing things. Like, that's actually one of my greatest problems before I came to Krishna consciousness. You know, you've tried to get something, but you know it's gonna fall apart. You know it's gonna finish one stage. And then, for example, you got something, it's gonna be finished one stage. And then now you're young, but then one day you look at old people and they're all wrinkly and it's like nobody looks attractive anymore when they're old, you know. So all that happiness in my past is still saturated with the fear which is behind it, but a lot of people are not even aware of it, but still it's there. It is there, you know, you can't get it out of the system. People are afraid to die, Shri Prabhupada said, because they can subconsciously remember previous times dying and having taken birth again, being in the womb. They might not be conscious, but you know, the happiness is very shallow because these things are there. And who has a really peaceful mind anyway? And Shri Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita said, how can there be any happiness without peace? So I can't see anybody who has peace. Isn't it? You see, like, even just seeing people like during lunchtime, they're running down the street and stuffing themselves with junk food. It's just madness, you know, like, honestly. There might be some, like, you know, kind of, but like, even family life. Like, how can you be happy without taking a stake with family? Because these days there's no security in what children really see. Like, Sanjadita, he has like a stable, you know, of course their parents are transcendental. But then, besides that, there's a stable family. So yesterday there was Koshan Krishna here, the little boy, and he runs to dad and hugs dad, and he runs to mom, hugs mom, he runs back to dad and hugs dad. This child has such a stable background, and he will be able to develop such integrity in his character and such security in himself. But if you don't have that, and if the parents treat you whimsically, and if the parents always try to get a bite out of you, which they do these days, then you're shattered in the core. So even materially, life doesn't work out for people anymore. There's so much insecurity, there's so much abuse, there's so much fear of losing, like even this kind of idea was like losing your job. There's so much fear into this life, and they're so shattered from the very beginning because we don't have any past credits. So even material life just doesn't work out for people anymore. Very, very few people have a so-called material happy life. But which is in one sense our chance, you know, can hook right onto it. Like when, you know, for example, when Shri Prabhupada came, there were all these hippies. And they were so disgusted by what was going on in the past. They were so disgusted by it. And they wanted something else. So often it becomes a point where people just disgusted with what is going on in the world. You know, so much hypocrisy, so much brutal, useless wars, so much material suffering that, you know, like it describes how the government becomes like plunderers in Kali Yuga. People are plundered and abused in such a way that it's interesting because even physically, like subtle physically, when you have money problems, they manifest in the lower back. It's like, so therefore the expression comes to you, stabs me in the back. You know, people feel like stabbed in the back because all their money, like, which is basically the guarantee for sense gratification, has been taken off them. So now maybe there's a shift in consciousness, and because of the situation, people will look for a spiritual alternative. I just talked to my mother, I think the day before yesterday, and she's becoming incredibly receptive. Like, she's coming to visit me in Bemba, and she's going to stay for a whole month at the temple, which is very nice. And she was saying that one of the reasons is becoming more and more, like, you know, curious about spiritual life, like on the, like, serious spiritual life, is because she's just so disgusted how people treat each other these days. You know, how people are like just being like just driving on the road, there's so much aggression because people are so dissatisfied and they let it out on each other. You know, if you have animals and they're all very close together and there's this tension, they start attacking each other. So people are like, they're so agitated, they just get onto each other. But yeah, we can use it, and we see that some at the moment, there's some, you know, spreading Krishna consciousness is going so well. There's so many very nice people being interested, and so many beautiful processes going on here. Australia is going very well, New Zealand, I was saying, was just in New Zealand, it's going so well. Such beautiful people coming, so interested. One of the girls, for example, and she's from Canada, her name is Heidi, and she is doing like congresses for, how is it called? It's like basically like the whole ecological wave. So you have many people now who are becoming so interested in veganism, vegetarianism, sustainable living, alternative lifestyle, because they can see how the resources of the earth don't last for long anymore. You know, what's going to happen with the oil, what's going to happen with the pollution, what's going to happen with all these things which have been put in the world. And a lot of people, they get really frustrated. And then what we can offer is like, hello, you know, look at self-sufficient farm communities. Look at the lifestyle you're living. Just look at it, you know, see how much truth and value is in there. So they do a lot of lectures, being professor in the university, they've been preparing a congress and stuff like that. And it's such good quality people are interested, very intellectual, very, you know, like a bit like the hippie kind of scene, you know, one new age now, is being attracted to it, drawn to it, wants to help, and, you know, start chanting Hare Krishna and practicing the principles, you know, of purity and cleanliness and alternative lifestyle. So it's very nice. It's a big shift at the moment going on, and we should take advantage of the distress people are in, not in an exploitative way, but in a way that through their frustration you can give them the highest good. And there's Pingala, for example, the prostitute, is one of the gurus of the Vajra Brahma, and she came from that point. This is such a nice story, how she, with material frustration, she became self-realized. You know, so many people are coming in this situation out of there, so distressed and looking for relief, and we can offer it. You know, devotees in Krishna consciousness can offer it, without a doubt. Anything else anybody wants to say?
Yeah.
No?
And then the beauty. Translation?
The translation. Okay, just for you, so I translate. Just as the dream is merely a creation of one's intelligence but has no actual substance, similarly, material lamentation, illusion, happiness, and distress, and the acceptance of the material body under the influence of Maya, an alteration of my illusory energy. In other words, material existence has no essential reality. Any closing words? I'm sure you have something to say. Okay. Thank you for coming. Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada ki.